Bishop Jim asked me if he could be allowed to preach on the gospel sometime, so I will leave that for him. But I want you to know that the reason I'm not preaching on the gospel is not that I think it's unpreachable. I think it's approachable, I think it's accessible, and I think it's relevant. I just felt drawn to a different text for this morning. Deuteronomy 30:15 and verse 19, we read, "I have set you before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. Choose life." Now, you wouldn't have thought that was a very difficult choice, would you? It almost deserves that teenage duh, life, death, prosperity, adversity. I think I'll go for the good stuff. It always reminds me of one of my favorite comedians, Minnesotan-born Louis Anderson. As part of his routine, he often had these incredible situations where he would say, on the one hand, and he spoke of something that was wonderfully glorious, and on the other hand, something that was awful, and he'd say, "Let me think about it." Rather like that dynamic when my father used to say to me, "Do you want a smack? Let me think. Do I want a smack or maybe not?" So Moses is saying, how are you going to choose? What decision do you wish to make today? It's up to you. Life, death, prosperity and adversity. I believe that to choose, to elect, and we're here so much more of that in the months to come, is one of the marks of our humanity. And yet we know, maybe for ourselves as well as for others, that the capability, the competence, the capacity to choose is sometimes limited, if not altogether absent. There's that person that we would so love to be able to like, and we try again and again and again, but we find it somehow beyond our capability. There are financial, psychological, familial reasons why we or others find our power to choose is limited. And of course, ultimately, we have a name for someone who chronically, consistently, ceaselessly is unable to choose. And we call that person an addict. And their condition, addiction. But don't be fooled. Addiction does not just apply to the obvious, drugs and alcohol or sex. All of us, I think, to some degree, battle with an addiction where we feel that we are in a situation where we know if we continue, we do ourselves harm. And yet we find ourselves incapable of saying no or yes for health. There are those who seem, in the most obviously abusive of relationships, unable to say no. And then the most painful of ironies, even when they have broken away from such harmful liaisons, they plow headlong into another state where the power to say no is minimal. I read recently that incredible book, Educated, by Tara Westover. I find it hard to believe it's true. It's almost Dickensian in the way the miracles and coincidences keep happening. She eventually made enormously powerful choices for her health and well-being, but it was difficult because she said that right from the beginning, everybody around her kept giving her the message, "I was not right. There was something wrong." Such a person finds it difficult to make choices for their health. They feel, "Do I deserve it? Is it really possible?" Well, at the end of a very lengthy sermon, and you think sermons are long, at the end of a lengthy sermon, the whole book of Deuteronomy, 34 chapters. It would have taken 2.5 hours to preach. I didn't read it aloud yesterday. I just looked it up on Google. Moses is at last beginning to draw things together. Although you know that sad trick that some poor preachers have. You think they're just about to land at the beginning and then they take off again. Just one more final point. Imagine how they felt. But here we come to the conclusion. Within five verses, Deuteronomy 30, 15 to 20, Moses repeats one word four times. Do you recognize what that word is from memory? Today. Now. Moses is struggling to place the people and each of them in a context where today, now, is supreme, is vital, essential. A context where neither wretched memories of the past nor facile expectations for the future will affect the opportunity to engage with God in the present, in the now, today. Now, in its final form, the book of Deuteronomy is addressed to the post-exilic community of Israel, those who have already got back home. But these so-called modern readers will have known that the first hearers of this book failed. They failed miserably. They didn't take root in a promised land, but was whisked into exile like wind-blown chaff. These modern readers, though mindful of the failure of the past, must not allow that remembrance to cripple, disable, immobilize their capacity to make a good choice for today, in the present, in the now. I think it often occurs that the reason we find it difficult to make a good choice today is that we feel, oh, we've tried. Why try again? But neither must a dependence upon some future promised land enervate our capacity to make a good choice for today, in the present, in the now. You know, if you keep looking ahead too far, you keep banging into things in the present. The auditors of Moses' sermon were challenged to depend primarily not on the promise of some glorious future, some glorious temple, some glorious plan, but rather to depend on the one making the promise. I like to slightly shock people when I say to them, I don't believe in prayer. I don't believe in prayer. What I believe in is the one who hears and answers prayer. When we say we believe the promises of God, the most crucial thing is that we are experiencing God in the present, and we know because of our experience that God is the one who makes the promise, and he is constant. To quote from a hymn I learned years ago, I know not what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. And actually, this is no easy dynamic for me at the moment, I will share with you. I do not know what lies ahead, the way I cannot see, but one stands near today who'll be my guide. He'll show the way to me. As Paul writes to his beloved but such a nuisance Corinthian church, he knows that they can use their power to choose to create blessing or to create woe. They can exercise energy and time and make choices that will lead to God, to wholeness, to mission, or to brokenness and factionalism. In a Sermon on the Mount, Jesus speaks to those who can misuse choice. They can make bad decisions in matters of anger, fidelity, truth, or they can commit to the living spirit. Choose today. As you know, I marry many, many couples, both inside and beyond church walls. Now, most of those couples have been married before, either in law or, how could I say delicately, in effect. I believe every couple carries into their new marriage some sense of failure, guilt or shame about the past. But I try to help them see that that awareness of the past does not impede them from making good choices for today. I believe nearly every couple carries into their marriage real hopes of some beautiful, idyllic, paradisial love nest in the future. But if they focus too much on that, they miss out on the opportunity to love in the present. The choice, the election, says Moses, is laid out bluntly: life or death, prosperity or adversity. Options presented do not include maybe, or I have to think about it, or I'll give it a try. As Yoda famously tells Luke Skywalker, who has half-heartedly promised to try, no, try not, do or do not, there is not try. If we choose to serve wealth instead of God, the poor suffer. If we choose to serve consumption instead of God, the environment suffers. If we serve pride or fear instead of God, both we and our neighbors suffer. Choosing life means starting something, and sometimes that means starting something over and over again. As is often heard in the rooms of AA, this is a powerful statement: it's never too late to start your day again. Because the whole day is full of todays and nows. We can say yes to God. I need to choose again life with God in Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. Restricted neither by conscious or unreal failures of the past, nor by some idyllic paradisial future that one day will be handed me on a plate. What I have is the now. And I conclude, and I really conclude, with a piece of really good news. Good news worth celebrating. Good news worth shouting about. All of this vocation to choose is in the context that God has chosen me and you first. We cannot preempt God in this business of election and choice. In his election, his choice of us is unchanging, constant, eternal. John 15:16, my ordination verse. Jesus said, "You did not choose me. I chose you." And if your heart does not respond ever so silently, hallelujah, think about it. Amen.